Next few weeks, you'll be able to go just about anywhere in Wisconsin without a mask after the CDC released new guidance saying that fully vaccinated people can go mask-free in most public spaces. Cities across the country scrambled to reassess their guidelines. Pretty much all mandates here in Wisconsin are either over or have an end date coming up in a couple weeks. We're talking about the lifting of mask mandates after over a year of wearing them. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Are you excited about the new guidance from the CDC and the end of, or the upcoming end of, remaining mask mandates? Are there situations where you'll keep wearing your mask even after you're vaccinated? Do you have questions about when you might still need to wear that mask? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. It's going to feel weird to walk into a building without a mask. Dr. Ben Weston is an associate professor in the Department of Emergency Medicine at the Medical College of Wisconsin. He's also director of medical services for the Milwaukee County Office of Emergency Management. Dr. Weston, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Well, a lot of the changes coming here in Wisconsin stem from the CDC guidance on mask wearing for people who are fully vaccinated. Can you talk about the decision and what it means?
Yeah, so what we saw from the CDC was basically that people who are fully vaccinated, so that means 2 weeks out from their final dose of vaccine, whether that's one dose or a two-dose vaccine, are safe to take their masks off in the vast majority of settings. And the science supports that. Now, the science shows that people who are vaccinated are at extremely low rate risk of getting the disease and very low, nearly 100% protected from hospitalization or death from COVID. Now, the science also shows that transmission rates appear to also be lower. So even if you do happen to get infected after you're fully vaccinated, you're very unlikely to transmit. Now, one last point. What's key about the CDC guidelines is it's for vaccinated people. Mm-hmm. So folks who are unvaccinated and people who are otherwise at high risk still want to keep masking.
I want to stick with the vaccinated people for a moment. You mentioned the majority of situations they wouldn't wear a mask. Under these guidelines, where does the CDC say, hey, vaccinated people, we think you should probably keep wearing a mask?
Right. So certain higher risk situations. So a lot of transit, public transit on airplanes, things like that. Also in higher risk situations like healthcare settings, in hospitals, in clinics. Those are the sort of settings where they say you still really ought to keep your mask on. And then, of course, certain states, localities, municipalities may still, or businesses for that matter, may still have policies, and those certainly should still be followed.
Right. And that's raised some concern. I know you don't know if that person, say, in the store you're running is vaccinated or not. So people are saying, How do I enforce a mask mandate in my store if I want to? How do I handle this? What are your thoughts on that concern about, you know, everybody might just stop wearing masks, vaccinated and unvaccinated alike?
It's a very legitimate concern. And to be honest, there's not a great answer to that right now. And that's one of the biggest challenges with when we see mask mandates being rescinded. Certainly people who are vaccinated are safe. Now, they may make different sort of decisions depending on what their risk tolerance is, depending on what their medical conditions are or who they live with. But that is one of the challenges. So, you know, when I enter a grocery store, when I went there 2 weeks ago, I felt pretty comfortable. And somebody who is, say, with children who can't be vaccinated or who's immunocompromised or who's receiving cancer treatment and can't actually get the vaccine, those few but real people who can't get the vaccine, you know, these are potentially going to be more dangerous situations for them to enter now.
Talking to Dr. Ben Weston from the Medical College of Wisconsin, looking at the end of mask mandates coming up for some communities in Wisconsin, already long gone in some others. You could join in at 800-642-1234 if you have questions about masks, when to wear them now, the science behind this, and your personal feelings. Will you be relieved when the time comes when you can take that mask off when you go into, say, the grocery store? Or is it going to feel weird? I think it's going to feel kind of weird for me. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Let's go to your calls now. Paula is with us in Madison. Paula, hi.
Hi. Thanks. I'm glad to speak with you. My concern is I understand. I'm fully vaccinated, but I still have a 5% chance I could possibly get COVID. Probably wouldn't have any symptoms. I'm like 74 and pretty healthy. But I'm very worried about my grandchildren who are not vaccinated. They're 8 and 11. And I'm still planning on wearing my mask pretty much. I don't wear it outside. I bike a lot and stuff. But inside, I'm thinking I probably should keep wearing it. I'm not sure if you had any thoughts on that.
Paula, thanks a lot. You are not the only one asking you that question, I promise. Dr. Weston, there's this still unvaccinatable part of the population, age 11 and under. How do they factor in?
Right. Paula has a really important point and a really important question. So this is going to depend not only on risk tolerance of those who are vaccinated, but also what situation you have going on. So Paula said she's healthy. If Paula happened to be immunocompromised, she might be more worried about that 5%. So, you know, hopefully and probably if she got infected with the vaccine, she would do okay. She'd have minor symptoms, if symptoms at all, and would do just fine. But if she or somebody else has immunocompromised, they might not do as well. And so they have a higher risk of going out. Now, likewise, you also have to think about who else you're around. There's that 5% risk of getting infected and then the lower risk of transmission, but that might be too much risk for you to take if you have kids at home, let alone if you have kids at home who have illnesses, who have immunocompromised themselves or other family members. So it is going to depend, and I think that's where the risk tolerance comes in. Paula feels comfortable going for a bike ride outside without a mask. Absolutely a safe activity. She may not feel comfortable going to an indoor concert without a mask or an indoor exercise class without a mask, and that's okay. She doesn't need to, you know, it is, like you said, it's going to be hard for all of us to transition back to taking masks off. It feels weird after so many months of wearing them. But if you're not comfortable or if you feel that your situation is higher risk, it's okay to keep your mask on for now.
Thanks a lot for that call, Paula. And let's talk about the kids who are right now not able to get vaccines. The word all along, and I think the statistics bear this out, is the younger kids have been way less at risk from COVID, and the risks go up the older and older you get. So how worried are we about protecting, except obviously for the immunocompromised kids you mentioned, in general, how worried are we about kids in the current state of COVID?
So I think there's two considerations here. I think one is at the individual level and one is at the community level. So let me start with the community level. So this is where we talk about herd immunity, and this concept has gotten confused and trying to pinpoint a number. But the basic idea is the more people we can get vaccinated, the harder it is for this virus to spread. And so even if an individual child is not going to get terribly sick from COVID, they still can spread COVID, and they can spread it to others who can get much more sick. And so to decrease that spread, to make it so that that virus has nowhere to go, and the numbers start really decreasing, that's why we need to vaccinate as many people as possible, including children. Now, the second part of that equation is thinking about the child on an individual level. So if you have a young child and they get COVID and they're otherwise healthy, are they likely to get very sick? Frankly, no. The evidence tells us they're not likely to get very sick. They're probably not going to be hospitalized. They're probably not going to die from COVID. And that's obviously a good thing. But what worries me with my kids and with other kids is this is still a virus that we don't understand very well. We are learning things constantly about COVID, and there's a lot that we still don't know. And part of what we don't know are the long-term effects. We don't completely understand why it causes this multi-system inflammatory condition in some children. We don't understand why it causes heart failure in some adults and many young adults. We don't understand why it causes these chronic long-term lung conditions. And we also don't know what other things we're going to discover over time with the virus. There's plenty of viruses that reemerge later or cause long-term effects that we don't understand. And the last thing we want to do is have our children exposed to something like that. Now, briefly, that's in contrast to a vaccine that's been very well studied and based on very careful science and designed to not have these sort of long-term effects.
Let's go back to our callers now. Martha is with us in Rhinelander. Martha, hi.
Hi. I have some underlying conditions. I'm in my 60s. I'm a big vaccine proponent. My family and friends, we've all had both vaccines. What I'm wondering is, I hear once in a while, more often than I'm comfortable with, people who have gotten both vaccines still get COVID. How concerned should I be with my underlying conditions about going maskless? Because I've worn a mask for a year, no exception. And I'm not trying to throw rocks. I don't understand, you know, how that can happen. Should I be concerned?
Martha, thanks for the call. Dr. Weston.
Yeah, thanks for the question, Martha. And this gets back to what Paula brought up earlier as well, is that 5%. So the vaccines are extremely effective. But nonetheless, when you give it to hundreds of millions of people, there are going to be some breakthrough infections. That 5% does add up when you have many, many, many people. And so do you need to be worried? I think it depends on your health conditions. I would talk to your doctor about it. It depends how severely you could be affected if you got COVID. But I think you can feel comfortable knowing that the vaccine is protecting you. Now, the best example I've heard, and I can't say it's my own, it's from Dr. Osterholm, who is from University of Minnesota and does an outstanding job talking about COVID. He talked about, imagine the vaccine as a fireproof suit, and it's 95% effective. If I told you, here's a fireproof suit that's 95% protective, you're probably not going to walk into, you know, a 10-foot wall of flames in a house that's burning down. But you may be willing to walk into a grass fire knowing that you have 95% protection. And so, you know, that wall of flames may be your exercise class with nobody wearing masks, whereas the grass fire is, you know, an outdoor picnic. And so I think you have to think about the burden of disease in your community, the vaccination rate in your community, as well as your own personal risk tolerance. But the fact of the matter, Martha, is you've done what you can to protect yourself by getting vaccinated. That's what's most important. And your risk of disease, your risk of hospitalization, and certainly your risk of death are extremely low.
We continue our talk with Medical College of Wisconsin Associate Professor Dr. Ben Weston about COVID restrictions lifting across the state, mask mandates, even in places that still have them, wrapping up probably in a couple few weeks. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your questions about the latest CDC guidelines on mask wearing, especially for vaccinated people. Your questions about vaccination rates and how worried you are about COVID-19 in the future. And you can just tell us how you feel about the idea of going maskless in public places. 800-642-1234 is the number. That's 800-642-1234. Dr. Weston, big picture and our worries now. It seems like we're getting enough people vaccinated that we're not going to have sort of the nightmare scenario nationwide that we had in January. But is there a concern, especially in counties, say communities with lower vaccine rates, of localized flare-ups like we saw in Michigan just, what, a month ago or so?
Yeah, I think there certainly is a concern. You know, the pandemic is, in the United States, moving in the right direction. We're seeing our trends improve, our case rates, our positivities. But we know that this pandemic is not over. It's not over on one hand because we don't have high enough rates of vaccination throughout the state, throughout the country, frankly, to really drive down the burden of disease as low as we need it to. It continues to be of concern as we look at these variants. Variants that in some cases increase transmissibility, in other cases increase severity. So we're not out of the woods yet, but the number one thing we can do to improve our trends and continue to see improvements is to get as many people as possible vaccinated.
Let's go back to our callers now at 800-642-1234. Lisa is with us in Marinette County. Lisa, hi.
Hi. I've been really frustrated up here because it seems in this area it's political. Trying to see anyone wearing a mask was really difficult this winter. We went out for my birthday to have dinner, and there was a bar attached to the restaurant, and people were swarming all. There must have been 50, 60 people there in a very small area, you know, elbow to elbow. And I was the only one with a mask on, and we turned around and came home.
Thank you for sharing that story. And this is not the only story that we've heard from Lisa's, Dr. Weston, just some places and situations where people never bought into mask wearing. How big a problem has that been, Dr. Weston?
Well, it certainly has been a problem. And it's been challenging that since the very beginning of the pandemic, COVID has been political in the United States. But I think what helps us get beyond that is just simply looking at the facts. And the facts show us that COVID is not the flu. COVID is not the mild disease that's often talked about. Now, in a lot of people, they do just get mild disease, but before the vaccine came, certainly a lot of our older folks, a lot of our sicker folks, and even a lot of younger folks were getting very sick from COVID. And we've seen many, many people get hospitalized and die from COVID. And that has certainly been real for every family that's lost a loved one over the last 14, 16 months from COVID. The other facts that we know is that masks work. And the most important fact that we know is that vaccines work and that they're safe. They're safe and they're effective. And so the more people we can get vaccinated, the better. But certainly politics from the beginning have added challenges to the messaging and the progress on COVID.
Thanks a lot for that call. Let's go to Mark now in Black River Falls. Mark, hi.
Hello. How are you today?
Good. What'd you want to bring up, Mark?
Well, a vaccine tricks your T cells into thinking that you've got a disease, a virus. And so if you catch the virus and recover from the virus, your T cells already know that, do they not?
Thanks for the call, Mark. So, yeah, if somebody has had, say, COVID, do they still need the vaccine? Dr. Weston, what are the recommendations?
Yeah, it's a great question, Mark, and it's one that comes up all the time. So certainly when you get infected with COVID, your body does build immunity. There's no doubt about it. Now, the challenge with the immunity from the natural infection of COVID is twofold. So the first challenge is that it seems to be far less predictable than the immunity that you get from the vaccine. In most people, it may last around 3 months. In some people, it may be stronger immunity than in others. Whereas the vaccine seems to provide very consistent immunity. We're more than 6 months out from the people who've gotten the first vaccinations, and they still have extremely strong immunity to COVID. So it gives you much more durable, long-lasting immunity, or at least it seems to, than getting naturally infected. Now, the other challenge, of course, is you have to go through that infection to get that immunity. So some people obviously have already been infected and they built some immunity, but we see many people who have gotten reinfected after that first infection. So the best way to build immunity and build long-lasting, durable immunity to protect yourself in the long term is by getting vaccinated, even if you've had the COVID infection.
Mark, thanks for the call. We'll go to Julia next in Oshkosh. Julia, hello.
Yes, hi. My question is twofold. One is the data does show that mask wearing has had an impact on other diseases such as flu. I think in the state of Wisconsin, we've had a rate of less than 1% of flu infections this season. Anecdotally, we hear that people's allergies are getting better, probably because they're wearing masks. So is there a way that we can shift our culture or our society to maybe adopt more of what, like, the Japanese do? Every winter, they wear masks. If somebody has a sniffle, they wear masks, you know, that respect for others. But can we mix maybe the sociological collective good angle with, hey, masks work also in preventing other diseases and deaths?
Julia, thanks a lot for the call. Masks, and let's key in on the flu influenza she brought up there. Dr. Weston, is there something to be said for maybe throwing on a mask during flu season?
There's certainly something to be said there. And Julia hits on a point that is being discussed more and more, is what are the added benefits of wearing masks? Now, wearing masks in certain situations, I think, moving into the future, we certainly have seen a much lessened, much less severe flu season than any time in the recent past. And the thought is that a lot of that may be due to masking. There may be other factors at play. And so certainly we'll have to look into that and better understand the data and the research. But nonetheless, it seems like there are some benefits to masks, especially in higher risk settings. I'll tell you, you know, in the emergency department, we didn't used to wear a mask throughout the winter when seeing patients in the emergency department. Certain patients, of course, we would. But I think moving forward, some culture shifts are going to happen there. And I think they'll happen in other settings as well.
Thanks a lot for that call. So big picture again, Dr. Weston, what are you watching for now that we've got much better numbers on COVID rates and death rates and so on? But as you said earlier, we're not done with it yet. What are the next things you're watching for?
Well, I think we're seeing a shift in vaccination strategy now. So you know, a month ago, we could open up our, and we did have our mass vaccination clinics open, and people would come to us, and they'd come to us by the hundreds or the thousands. That has shifted now. We're no longer seeing that group that is quite so eager and able to get vaccine as we did before. And so I think we have three groups left. One is people who just don't want to get the vaccine and will not get the vaccine. And that group hasn't shifted much. Now, luckily, those numbers are relatively low, somewhere between 10 and 15%. But what we're left with are groups that need a bit more information, often called the wait and see folks. And so we want to get that information out there to them so they're comfortable receiving the vaccine. And then we're seeing people with barriers, whether it's childcare, transportation, job barriers, whatever it is. And so we're working to make the vaccine easier for them to get. So that's really what we're working on right now, transitioning our strategy on vaccination with the goal of just continuing to get as many people protected, as many communities protected as possible.
Dr. Weston, we'll leave it there. Thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you. Take care.
That's Dr. Ben Weston, Associate Professor in the Department of Emergency Medicine at the Medical College of Wisconsin, also Director of Medical Services for the Milwaukee County Office of Emergency Management. He joined us for a look at the end of mask mandates.